Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
two bald men and a guy with gloriously luxurious locks hang out in a basement.
Hey, that's not funny.
You give yourself a word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
All right, it's Friday.
It's Friday. We made it.
It's been really fun hanging out at Mike Snyder's house.
I think Julie wants us out. But
the beer's getting flat.
Yeah, that's right. We drank it all up. We're down to... I don't know if that's possible at Mike's, though, to run out.
You know, what's interesting is that, you know, I always know when 11 o'clock hits because the UPS guy and the FedEx guy often bring up a couple beers for me to keep the collection fresh.
It's very nice. Yeah. It's... You know, it's not like the old days when you knew the beer store was closing at midnight and you had to sprint out.
Now, let me ask you this, Mike. Are you exclusively a beer guy or do you drink other stuff too?
I drink beer basically because you have to drink it, a lot of it, to get full. You know?
Yeah.
So I like that. I do drink wine. I've been to Italy like you and mm-hmm. I've actually sent a case of wine home, me and Phil, that mentioned on Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Phil and his wife and my wife and I went to Italy together for 10 days. So
we appreciate
wine. I do appreciate whiskey. I know you like whiskey. I do. Mm-hmm. I do love tequila. I've written a story about tequila that's on USAtoday.com about Sammy Hagar's tequila and his mezquila.
I was just going to say, I bet this involves Sammy Hagar.
And we have a bottle upstairs, you know, when we wrap this, you know, we can test it because it's unopened.
Yeah, and you know, we were very, I think, deficient, Jim, because we were once at Sammy Hagar's restaurant in a casino and didn't do any tequila shots. So
with Mike. Mike was there, too.
But, Mike, that's all excellent, and I look forward to everybody kind of reading that article. But let me ask you this. When was the last time you had a Zima?
I've seen a lot of people drinking Zima because evidently their Ryko Disc is reissuing Zima, or what's going on? Look, I don't think I had a Zima the first round, and I'm happy to miss the second round because
the box set of Zima is coming out. Yeah.
You know, there's the good thing about the modern day is there's more than 5,000 breweries in the U.S.,
yes,
more than there's ever been.
God bless America.
You know, Caboose that we're drinking, the beer we're drinking right now, is 4 miles this way, and the Mad Fox is 4 miles that way.
Yep.
So, you know, you can get fresh local beer wherever you are in the United States, pretty much.
You can even just walk home then.
Right. I could walk home.
That's right.
Luckily, I am home, so I just have to make it up the stairs.
I can crawl home from the Mad Fox as well.
Okay, well, this has been a fun week.
It has been. Thank you, Mike.
We've been talking about Elvis Costello all week on Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
And we went through the last 4 days, the first four Elvis Costello albums, top to bottom, right? We mm-hmm. played every song.
We talked about them all the way through.
That's right. Now, for this last episode, we're just going to talk about Elvis Costello's career in general mm-hmm. and play some stuff from other albums beyond the first four.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the reason we're doing that is because he went to so many different places. And by the time his fifth studio album, Trust, came around, he was really starting to go in, like, you know, you could already feel he was starting to take all these different directions, right? And things at that point, even a little bit with Get Happy, but beyond that, you know, this is where it really started to display in a lot of different directions.
That's right.
And he was messing around with country music and different bands, and his name was changing, and he was getting more famous, and all kinds of things were happening.
I think he was getting tired of the angry young man persona, wanted mm-hmm. to do other things. And funny, you know, we talk about how prolific he was and sort of how, you know, how much work he had done in, you know, 2.5-3 years time. He already had, like, sort of reached his, like, middle period of an artist.
It's kind of incredible.
You know, about 3-4 years in, right?
Exactly.
And this is what a lot of artists do. They then want to do different things. They're tired of the stuff they were doing before. They want to experiment, go in different directions. And here we are with Elvis Costello, right?
Exactly. That's how amazing he was. And having said that, why don't we hear something off Trust, though? Because it's a record I quite like. It's got that very iconic cover with him sort of peering over the top of his sunglasses there. and kind of looking around, you know. So I'll say this quickly about this song, Strict Time. It shows kind of an amalgam of a lot of the styles that came before. There's a little R&B. There's a little of that angry young man in there, and there's clever wordplay. There's a hand on a wire that beats to my mouth. I can hear you knocking, but I'm not gonna down. Don't wanna be a puppet or a ventriloquist, cause there's no ventilation on a critical list. Fingers creeping up my spine, and not mine to resist. Strict time. Dub it up, dub it up, get your lip button up. Strict time. Oh, the muscles flex and the fingers curl, and a cold sweat breaks out on a sweater girl.
That is amazing.
Yeah,
that
it's
really
an incredible song.
Is amazing. You know, you hear a lot of great bass work in that too. It's really unfortunate that that's the guy Elvis Costello had the problem with moving forward,
very
right?
True, yeah.
It was Bruce Thomas, and really was the cause of the Attractions falling apart.
Yeah.
And then later in this career, we're getting to the period here where he starts making albums without the Attractions and things like that.
Yeah.
But funny, because today, you know, he performs with a band now he calls the Imposters, but it still has two of the three guys from the Attractions,
right?
The only difference is the bass player, right?
Yep.
So anyway.
That album is great. One of my favorite songs from it is From a Whisper to a Scream, which also has
nice
Glenn
song.
Tilbrook of Squeeze.
Yep.
Shot with His Own Gun is a nice slow burn, totally different vibe.
And in this time period when Elvis Costello is writing all these songs and recording an album every year, he still has time to produce a Squeeze album.
A great
in
album.
There,
yeah.
Right? East Side Story, the one with Tempted on it.
And I believe he produced the first Specials album, too.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
So amazing, you know?
Totally.
Okay. So that was from Trust, you mentioned, and then skipping ahead a little bit. Yeah, because then after Trust was Almost Blue,
that's right.
Which was the album of country covers.
Yeah, he took a little bit of a country detour, and I think he had met George Jones, right, Mike, at some point?
I think he performed on a George Jones album
in
the late 70s, and he knew George Jones. Well, that album includes a song from George Jones and also a Hank Williams song and a Merle Haggard song.
It's a real barroom weeper kind of an album.
Oh, yeah, make sure you have the whiskey handy for
that
one. But it's, you know, it's not that we don't like that album. It's just you can't talk about all of them because he has 30. We're talking about 30 years of stuff here.
And I think a lot of fans are definitely familiar with the It's Been a Good Year for the Roses, which was a George Jones sung song. And then, you know, Elvis Costello covered that on that Almost Blue album.
Yep.
And it's a killer. That is a killer, killer song.
Yeah,
so,
really is.
All right. And then was a sort of masterpiece album.
Well, at least it was marketed as that, and many of us think it is.
Yep.
It's his fourth album that's on the top 500 of Rolling Stone. I don't get paid to say this. I just don't, you know. But
it is what album?
It is Imperial Bedroom.
Right. 1982.
Yes.
Yep.
And this is the album that you and I went to see in the concert, Jim. He took that on tour. It wasn't because it was an anniversary or anything, but he said, at least in the stories leading up to it, that he thought he had the ability to actually produce these songs on stage like he had never had before. So that's why what the impetus was.
And it's funny because the tour was promoted as like the Imperial Bedroom Tour or something like that. But unlike other artists that are playing, you know, songs from an album like top to bottom in order, it wasn't like that. It just had an emphasis on that album, but then he kind of mixed it up and played other things too. So what do we want to hear?
Well, so the first song is incredible. One itty-bitty story. Yep. This is the first album of his that I actually somewhat bought.
Really?
Back in the day when I was in college, you could actually rent an LP for 24 hours.
That's beautiful.
Take it home, and you'd record it, and maybe the guy down the hall would record it, and his girlfriend would record it, and then you take it back. You know, it's like $2 or $3, and you know, all of us had a cut. So the labels, I'm sure, hated this, and it didn't last very long. But that's
I've never heard of this. Have you heard of this?
I actually didn't know. Nowhere where I was growing up did they offer that. I would have abused that privilege.
So at the record store, you could purchase it or you could rent it.
Yes, you could. They had certain rental copies. So
and where then, where was this?
This was in Lawrence, Kansas. So went to the University of Kansas. So from the get-go on this album, I mean, you feel something different. It's produced by Jeff Emmerich, who worked on many Beatles albums, including Sgt. Pepper. Yep.
Engineer.
And I don't need to say anything. Let's just play it.
History repeats, the old conceits, the clip replies, the same defeats. Keep your finger on the button issues with crocodile tears and a pocket full of tissues. I'm just an artist, slip and wind the world of the nervous tick. In a very fashionable hovel, I hang around and to be tortured. You'll never be alone in the bone arches. Spattle with the bottle is nothing so novel. So in this almost empty gin palace, through a two-way looking glass, you see her Alice. You know she has no sense for all your jealousy. In a sense, she still smiles, very sweet. Charged with insults and flattery, her body moves with malice. Do you have to be so cruel to be callous? And now you find you fit this identity completely. You say you have no secrets, then leave discreetly.
You still have the great wordplay, but it's just at another level.
My gosh. It is an amazing song. It definitely has that sort of late period Beatles sound to it, but it's like otherworldly. Like, where did that even come from? Do you know what I mean?
Maybe
the angels, really, when he traded in his red shoes.
Cashing it in right there.
Gave him this song.
You know, most people would be lucky to get that many great lines in their entire career as he gets in that song. I mean, there's five or six that are just stunning. Through a two-way looking glass, you see her Alice. Holy Moses, what a great line.
That's unbelievable.
And I mean, that's
my favorite. It's beyond belief.
I mean, that's my favorite song on the album, but there's great songs all the way through.
Great record.
Including Almost Blue, which you might think would be on the country album, but it's not. He wrote it after that, and it's a great song too.
Yeah. And an amazing cover, that sort of Picasso-style cover on the record, Imperial Bedroom. I love it.
Okay, so I'm going to take us to the next album, which was 1983's Punch the Clock.
Punch the Clock.
This is where I became familiar with Elvis Costello because it had a hit song on MTV.
Yep.
I mentioned that earlier in the week. I'm just going to play the song, then we'll come back. Day I Write the Book.
Amazing. You know, another one of those where you could be like, did he write that? Or is that like an old song that he dug up somewhere?
Well, here's the funny thing about that is, so first of all, I really struggled with which song from Elvis Costello to put on my Perfect Pop playlist that I have on Spotify. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the rule is only one song per artist,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right.
This is what I ended up with.
Interesting.
Okay? And here's the funny thing. When you read the background of this, the backstory on this song, apparently he wrote this song in about 10 minutes.
Wow.
And it was like sort of a personal challenge. Like, can I write a song that quickly without just, you know, putting tons and tons of thought into it? And this is what he came up with. And he actually thought it was kind of a goofy song, almost like a little throwaway or whatever. But people loved it because it's just so smart.
It really is.
You know, you heard the lyrics there about, you know, it's the whole thing, obviously, it's just, a, you know, kind of like a story of your life, like the book of your life, right?
Playing and on the Book of Love, the famous song,
And the whole thing about the chapters and the arc. I mean, it's just brilliant. But there's a great part later on here. Where is it here? All of your compliments and your cutting remarks are captured here in my quotation marks, right? Isn't that just, I mean, this is just beautiful.
And it also kind of plays off of the Nick Lowe song, When I Write the Book About My Love, right? You know,
yes,
it goes along those lines too.
Even in a perfect world where everyone was equal, I'd still own the film rights and be working on the sequel. Like, Patrick, how can you write that in 10 minutes?
No, it's beautiful, man. It's totally incredible. So, I think of all Elvis Costello's songs, and I know he never had like a really big number one hit or a smash. This probably would have been the one, I think, that, you know, would have been that chart topper.
It did actually crack the top 40 just barely in the U.S. It was in the 30s somewhere. Mm-hmm. Later, he had a bigger hit with Veronica. That was his biggest one. But this is much better song.
Yeah,
and
totally.
I just love, and the piano part is just great. I mean,
really
everything, and the backup singers, everything about it, I think, is just perfectly crafted in this song. Okay.
And a halfway decent album, Punch the Clock. It wasn't bad.
Yes.
It's not bad.
So then after Punch the Clock, 1984 came Goodbye, Cruel World.
That's right.
Which he now says is his worst album that he ever made.
Not a good record. He was stretched a little thin at that point. Material was a little hard to come by.
Seriously, the guy's putting out an album every year.
Exactly.
Then he takes a couple of years off, finally, and he puts out two albums in 1986.
Yeah, both good records.
And one of those you're going to talk about now.
Yeah. This is a record, King of America. It's actually credited to the Costello Show, featuring the Attractions and the Confederates. So this is a time when he starts to mix up, you know, some of his personas and some of his bands. But he's got some guys playing on this record, King of America, which is kind of largely acoustic, little more intense songwriting, a little more detailed, a little more delicate. You know, some guys that played with Elvis were playing in this band. And he kind of went back to this approach of
Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
In like his like 70s. Yeah. Mike probably saw these guys.
Seen them live. Yeah.
James Burton and, you know, people like that.
Yeah.
And Jerry Sheff and folks like that. And he was really trying to go back to a little more of that Sun Records sort of acoustic bass and acoustic sound.
Has some rockabilly in it.
Is this when he begins his relationship with T-Bone Burnett?
I think that's right. Yeah, I think T-Bone was around and they had sort of toured together and started talking about stuff. And T-Bone brings a lot of that kind of influence. I mean, T-Bone was a guitar player on Bob Dylan's, you know, a couple of Bob Dylan tours and things. So he goes way back. But there's some beautiful wordplay, some beautiful, delicate songs on here, some really heartbreaking love songs. And this song we're going to hear, Indoor Fireworks, it's just one of the most heartbreaking you know, songs you're ever going to hear about the dissolution of passion and relationship.
We play these parlor games. We play it make-believe. When we get to the part where I say that I'm gonna leave, everybody loves a happy ending, but we don't even try. We go straight past pretending to the part where everybody loves to cry. Indoor fireworks can still burn your fingers. Indoor fireworks, we swallow safe as houses. They're not so spectacular. They don't burn up in the sky, but they can dazzle on a light. I'll bring a tear when the smoke gets in your eye.
Quite a beautiful song. Heartbreak. Some great lines in there, too.
Yeah. And sort of a call out with the line about when the smoke gets in your eyes, right?
Right. An old standard. And again, works on two levels, you know. It works as a love song, and it also works as a metaphor.
Yeah. That's a great pick. And that album, King of America.
A lot of good stuff on
that
record.
I find it really interesting. He did this thing where, like I said, it's credited as the Costello Show. And so it's the idea that in order to sort of like break away and do some different things that maybe the fans won't get angry at him for.
That's right.
You know, change the name of what it's actually called. And then, you know, people will give you a little bit more leeway, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of like cool, like there's like a lot of rockabilly on
there.
There
is, yeah. There's a really good cover of Please Lord, Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood.
There's that on there too.
So
yep.
It's a very, very clever kind of an album. And it really began his, you know, branching out and working in different styles, which he really took to some extremes later on. You know, Backrack came in the picture at one point.
There's a song on that album called Lovable.
Yeah.
Which, again, you know, kind of like what we talked about with Get Happy or other things. It's sort of like, is that an old song that he's covering?
Yeah.
Is it a song he wrote?
Yeah.
It's really that good in terms of like sort of a rockabilly kind of song. But again, in the Elvis Costello way, it's like, you know, it works on two different levels. It's sort of you're so lovable could be seen as, you know, everybody, you know, really likes you.
Yeah.
You're a lovable person. Or it could mean another
you're really
thing.
Lovable. Yeah. As in when the fleet comes in.
That's right. Exactly. okay. And then, but here's the funny thing. So the same year that he releases King of America, just a few months later in that same calendar year, he puts on another album with the Attractions.
Yeah. Don't forget, folks, I still have a rock band.
Right. Blood and Chocolate.
And Nick Lowe is back hanging out with him and helping oversee everything. And this song I don't know if you could actually make a song more different than the song we just heard to start this album.
Satisfied what you have done. You think it's over now, but we've only just begun. I asked for water, and they gave me rosy wine. A horse that knows arithmetic, and a dog that tells you fortune.
Talk about unleashing the fury.
Oh, yeah, man, totally unleashes the fury. That album's got some vitriol buried in the grooves, man.
And it's a great opening sequence because
really
I Hope You're Happy Now is a great song. It's totally different than that. And then Tokyo Storm Warning kind of mines that from the first song, and it's just a great album.
Really is. Really is. Really, really good.
Okay, and then from there...
It was over because no good records were made after 1986, Jim.
Is that right?
No.
That was his last album for Columbia.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know.
Went to Warner Brothers.
Here's the thing. You know, I think he always had sort of moderate success on the chart, you know, in terms of sales figures. Doing okay, but it kind of took a dip, I think, in the 80s here. And he went over to Warner Brothers, and then he recorded what ended up being, a hit record. And I remember this, 1989, it was an album called Spike. In retrospect... You know, it's an uneven album.
Yeah.
But at the time, my friends and I, we were kind of excited about it because it sounded kind of like a return to the 70s
kind of
form in terms of the sound of the record. But the song I want to play from Spike is one that is, over the years, I think is just a brilliant song. Maybe I didn't appreciate it when I was much younger, but as I'm older, this is a song that I think you really... I think just about everyone can relate to.
One day you're gonna have to face the deep dark truth from mirror, and it's gonna tell you things that I still love you too much to say. The sky was just a purple bruise, the ground was iron, and you fell all around the town until you look the same. Same eyes, same lips, same line from your tongue trips. Deep dark, truthful mirror. Deep dark, truthful mirror. Now the flagstone streets where the newspaper shouts ring to the boots of roustabouts, and you're never in any doubt that something happened.
Okay, that's somewhere. Deep Dark Truthful Mirror.
Beautiful song. It hits home, man.
I think we've all looked into that beer at some point, right? Yeah,
that's right. It's not pretty. I smashed it and walked away.
There's a lot of interesting people on this album.
Yeah,
Alan Toussaint played piano on that song.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He plays piano on that song, and that's the Dirty Dozen Brass Band playing on there. This album was actually recorded in four different studios, and then different songs have sort of different flavors. Mm-hmm. This particular song and a couple others on the album were recorded in New Orleans.
Yep.
So it has that.
Very kind of gospel, R&B, French,
I mean, that's just a killer song.
Beautiful song. Yeah, it really is.
And I think it also, you know, if I have one criticism of Elvis Costello's career, it's that I think he, over the years, started to favor more and more sort of like the jazz singer, almost lounge singer kind of thing. The kind of piano ballads and all that. And it's okay. There's often times, like kind of when we went to the show, that I just wanted to see him rock out. And he finally did that in the encore of the show we went to see. But when he does it well, it's really, really good. I think this is a good example of
that. Great example. That's a really good song on that record. Yeah.
So the most famous song on that record probably is Veronica, which him and Paul McCartney co-wrote. And then another famous song that they wrote together is on Paul McCartney's Flowers in the Dirt album called My Brave Face. In case you're looking for songs to
like
listen
that
to
a
on
lot.
Spotify.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was funny at the time when that collaboration was happening, we thought it kind of brought out the best in Paul McCartney, because what Paul McCartney was really missing, I think, in his career for a while was a John Lennon.
That's right.
Right. He needed
somebody of his talent,
right,
you know, that could work with him. And
that's right.
You know, Elvis could bring it that way.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's obviously a lot more albums that Elvis Costello recorded after this.
There's a ton to his career. You know, he got married at one point to that blonde jazz pianist who played a lot of piano. He did some stuff with, string quartets, essentially, right?
He won a Grammy. With Burt Bacharach.
Burt Bacharach, Painted from Memory album.
That was 1998, so I guess the Grammy would have been in 1999.
Yeah. I mean, he was putting albums out, Jim, on Deutsche Grammophon. Like, you know, when you went to the record store in the old days, you saw the Deutsche Grammophon with the yellow label. It was classical music, right? It was like
Right.
It was like Haydn or some German composer. It was like The Planets. Rimsky-Korsakov. I don't know what it was.
The Four Seasons.
That's right. Pachelbel, Vivaldi. I don't know. It wasn't, it wasn't Elvis, Costello.
Well, he's done lots of different things. I mean, and
he really has.
You know, if this is a springboard for you to check stuff out, you know, that type of stuff out, it's interesting. I mean, he's working on a musical based on the film A Face in the Crowd, and he played a song from that at the concert a couple weeks ago, and that's kind of more the piano-based performance. A singer-songwriter, not a singer-songwriter like you would think of with a guitar, but, you know, with the piano type thing, and that may be where he's going in the future. I could see him and his wife doing a tour in the future, and I would definitely go to
that. That'd be cool.
And he made an album not that long ago with The Roots. Like, he put out a record with them. So, Tiffany. So, we've got something to play out with, I think, that we'll talk about. But before we do that, why don't we just do our closing business here, and then we'll get going, because you're listening to Rockin' the Suburbs. I want to remind you of that. It's a podcast you should listen to every now and then.
Or every day.
Every day. And you can find it on all your major podcast provisional platforms or providing platforms. SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, and TuneIn, I believe.
And Audio Boom.
Audio Boom is another one. Thank you, Jim. And you can also find us on the social medias. A lot of the kids like to use the social medias these days. And
I do.
Conveniently, Mike, we've got one handle for those social medias, which is Suburbs Pod.
That's right.
Yeah. And we've got the Instagrams, the Facebooks, and the Twitters. Uh-huh. We're all over those things. We're like, got a lot of likes, and we would like you to like us too.
Oh, yeah.
We also have a website called suburbspod.com where you can get show notes, musings, and other assorted ephemeras there. I encourage people to go and check that out.
I love ephemeras especially.
Yeah. And I would really say to folks, if you want to weigh in on can you make a one-disc Elvis Costello Greatest Hits, or you want to talk about a gem of an Elvis album that we didn't talk about, or give your opinion on the first four, please call us on the Suburban Party Line. And we have a jingle for that party line.
I'm not going to try to sing that for you because it's a great voice.
We'll pop that in.
If you're glad or sad or high, call the Suburban Party Line.
And that number is 416.
No, hang on.
There's no way I can get the phone number.
It's 1-877 cars for kids.
Don't ever say that again.
It's 612-440-1984.
612-440-TGIF. It is Friday.
1984. Your favorite Van Halen album.
That's the TTY phone, if you need to use that. Text or teletype.
Thank God it's Friday, right?
Yeah, that's right. And of course, you can email us anytime at suburbspod.com or suburbspod.
Rock at suburbs.
Rock at suburbspod.com. Thank you, Jim. I knew I was going to get that right. And I think that's about it for our closing business. Yeah. So,
And I'm reading a good book here.
Yeah, you've gotten through most of that book.
Yes.
About halfway through.
It is Elvis Costello, Secret, Profane, and Sugarcane.
And why is he reading that, Mike?
It's a little booklet here.
You know, Elvis did a deal with Starbucks. We could probably Google it, but you guys could Google it yourself. But I bought this in Starbucks in 2009. And there's a song on there I really like that he had on All This Useless Beauty, which was an album that came out several years before that. But he did some deal with Starbucks, and they were selling, you know, because there's a problem with people not buying enough CDs, which obviously has gotten worse if you're an artist, their point of view. And it's a very neat kind of a multimedia type thing. So lots of cool drawings.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Words and stuff. You might, if you're me, you may need to get your readers out for that. But but this is a good song, and you know, there's just so many songs that we didn't touch on, and good point for you, Patrick, that if anybody wants to argue with what we said, say, hey, how could you be so clueless
to miss
this useless beauty?
Yeah.
You know, let us know.
Yeah, all absolutely. Right.
So this song is called
Complicated Shadows.
Complicated Shadows. All right. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks, Mike, for having us.
Thanks for coming over. It's been fun.
Got to clean this mess up.
Great. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
And listen to some more Elvis Costello, including this Complicated Shadows. And then we'll talk to you, I think, next week.
Well, you know your time has come, and you're sorry for what you've done. You should have never been playing with a gun in those complicated shadows. Well, there's a line that you must toll, and it'll soon be time to go. But it's darker than you know in those complicated shadows. All you gangsters and rude clowns who were shooting up the town, when you should have found someone to put the blame on. Though the fury is hot and hard, I still see that cold graveyard. There's a solitary stone that's got your name on. You don't have to dig it from me, but I know of what I speak. You think you're like iron steel, but iron steel will bend and break in those complicated shadows.
Here. Well, I had to go with the folders because at some point it was like Enterprise with the trouble with Tribbles with the CDs around. You know, I kind of had to.
Yeah, you start running out of room completely.
And you know, then at one point you're either going to have the CDs or your wife. I guess I chose the wife and the CDs. I tried to find a sneaky way out.
Will you know your time has come and you're sorry for what you've done? You should never been playing with a gun in those complicated shadows. Well, there's a line that you must toe, and it'll soon be time to go. But it's darker than you know, and those
when you find strange hands in your sweater.